This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into left center field and deep. This is a tie ball game.
1-1 pitch.
Not only can I not remember the last time I broadcast a game this good, I can't remember the last time I've seen a game this enjoyable, this entertaining.
Oh, that music. Bruce, I'm 14. 15 years old. 12 years old. Watching the NBC baseball game of the week on a Saturday afternoon. It was the true game of the week.
It was, and it was awesome. 35 years ago tomorrow, the Sandberg game took place at Wrigley Field between the Cubs and the Cardinals. Why the Sandberg game? For all of you who may not have been there or have ever heard of the event, the Sandberg game was predicated on a game that the Cardinals jumped out to a 7-1 lead, and the only TV game that was being broadcast that day. NBC had the rights to that game that day. No other game could be played or broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, this was appointment television. This was as important a game every Saturday as you could imagine. And to take us through some of that, we are very privileged and honored to have Hall of Fame broadcaster and the man, along with Tony Kubek, who did that game that day, June 23rd, 1984, the Sandberg game. Bob Costas joins us on Inside the Clubhouse to our tribute to 35 years ago, the Sandberg game. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Bruce. Hi, Matt.
Great to have you with us. Your recollections of the ballpark that day, a young broadcaster who was really starting to shine at that time, and you and Tony became an important team at that point. Your recollections of that day, walking into the ballpark, and then what occurred?
Well, a perfect baseball Saturday, sunny skies, late June, Cardinals-Cubs, that makes a difference. If it was the Cubs against most other teams, it might not have resonated quite as much. Just like you see a lot of blue at Busch Stadium, you saw some red at Wrigley Field that day. There were no lights at that point, so it wasn't anything particularly special to have a day game. Every game at Wrigley Field was a day game. And you have to remember the context. The Saturday game of the week at that time was a big deal, because in much of the country, that really was the only game on television for the entire week. Or even if you had a local team and they televised some of their games, because few teams televised all of them. The Cubs were among those who televised all or nearly all. But in most parts of the country, you got a handful of your local team's games. So this was your one chance to see a national game. If you lived in Rhode Island, you might not have seen the Dodgers and the Reds that often, except on the game of the week. So it had a certain cachet. And very often, those Saturday afternoon games would get ratings comparable to what hit primetime shows get today in a fractionalized television universe. So you had a good portion of the baseball world watching the games every Saturday with Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola, and with me and Tony Kubek. And also at that time, the Cubs, surprisingly, were beginning to emerge as a contender. And of course, as we know, they'd come within one game of making it to the World Series that year. And it seemed to all come together that day at Wrigley. The Cubs as a national force, WGN as a superstation was taking hold, so the Cubs had fans outside Chicagoland. There was that. The Cubs as a force in the pennant race, and Sandberg as an MVP candidate. It all came together in that one game.
That's a really nice job of putting it in the proper context, unsurprisingly, from Bob Costas here on 670 The Score. I was that kid growing up in New Jersey, Bob, and a couple months earlier, I saw Jack Morris throw a no-hitter on the game of the week right there. So it was super special to see guys that you did not see. And it is a coming out party for Ryan Sandberg on the national scale, for people to realize outside of Chicago, oh boy, this is an infielder with pop, when they were not super common at the time.
Oh yeah, it was all those things. The Cardinals had a 9-3 lead at one point in the game. The Cubs catch up, they pulled it within 9-8, and then Sandberg homers in the ninth off Bruce Sutter, and that's not incidental, because Sutter, a former Cub, was by consensus the premier reliever in the game at that time. So the homer ties at 9-9. They go to extra innings. Willie McGee's double produces two and makes it 11-9 Cardinals. And almost as a footnote, Willie McGee has now hit for the cycle in the game after that double. So we go to the bottom half of the 10th, two out, nobody on. Bob Dernier draws a walk, and up comes Sandberg again. Suter's still on the mound, which is an indication of a different era, because he pitched multiple innings, as many of his contemporary relievers, Goose Gossage, Raleigh Fingers, often did. So he's still in the game. Same matchup. Sandberg homers almost to the same spot. It was almost like the same fan could have caught both balls in the left field bleachers. And now the game is tied again. And I remember saying something to the effect of, this may be the real Roy Hobbs, because the movie The Natural had only recently come out with Robert Redford as Roy Hobbs. The 80s and early 90s were kind of a golden era of baseball movies. Field of Dreams, The Natural, Eight Men Out, Bull Durham, even Bob Uecker and Company in Major League. For some reason, there was a spate of really good baseball movies. So to me, what Sandberg was doing brought Roy Hobbs to mind. And then the game continued, and another footnote, Dave Owen, brother of Spike Owen, who had a more accomplished career, got a base hit over the drawn-in infield, and the Cubs won the game 12-11.
The incomparable Bob Costas joins us for this look at the 35th anniversary of the Sandberg game, broadcast by NBC exclusively on June 23rd, 1984. Bob, nice enough to share some time with us on a Saturday afternoon on Inside the Clubhouse. Bob, as a side note, and certainly a footnote in history, two Hall of Fame closers, Lee Smith and Bruce Sutter, are not up to the task on this given day, and it's an offensive day dream for Willie McGee and for Sandberg. And as you mentioned, Bob, McGee was already named by you guys, and everybody in the park agreed, as the player of the game, which was a big deal back then. When the announcers, said the player of the game after hitting for the cycle, of course, is Willie McGee. And then the ninth inning has its own life to itself.
Yeah, here's the story behind that. The player of the game was sponsored, so you absolutely had to mention it. Now, the game was going on a long time. Games were generally quicker then, but it had exceeded what the anticipated limit was. And we had a show called Sports World on NBC. And Marv Albert and the fight doctor, Ferdy Pacheco, were waiting, I think, in Panama for whatever the fight was that was to follow the baseball game. And they were actually holding off the opening bell until the game would end. So we were trying to do all the housekeeping, because as soon as the game ended, we were going to throw it hot to Panama. And so as Dernier made it to first base on the walk, and as Sandberg came up to the plate, people misinterpreted. We didn't think the game was necessarily over, but it could have been over. And if it was, if Sandberg had made it out, if it was, we were going to immediately go to Marv Albert, which is why we had to name a player of the game. And at that point, the Cardinals were winning. McGee had the cycle. He was the player of the game, despite the fact that Sandberg had four hits, one of which was a game-tying home run. Well, then, lo and behold, he hits another game-tying home run. Now he's got five hits. So when the game eventually ended, we couldn't rescind the offer to Willie McGee, so we named co-players of the game, and that's the way it happened.
Oh, that's great. For those who don't remember, didn't realize the dominance of Bruce Sutter at the time, and as you mentioned, a different era. At that point, he had thrown in 27 games. He had finished 26 of them with a 1.19 ERA. On the year, he threw 71 games. He finished 63 of them with a 1.54 ERA because those guys stayed in. He gave up four homers that year, two on that day, to Ryne Sandberg. You know, again, for people who didn't get to see him, the split-fingered fastball, that was the stuff of legend. Like, what is this pitch that Suter throws?
Yeah, it was a new pitch at that time. And people watching at home, where most shots are taken on the center field camera, you heard this all the time. Why do they swing at it? Can't they tell it's a ball? Well, not until it gets on top of them, they couldn't.
Right, absolutely. Bob, where, you know, in your great career, and you've had so many huge events and so many great moments, I don't know if you do rankings, but I'm going to ask you to put this in perspective for you. Again, a very young broadcaster who was already getting pretty famous at that time, as to where this falls in the Sandberg game with your career.
It's way up there. If I made a list, it would be high on the list. It's certainly the most significant regular season baseball game I've ever been a part of because of all the circumstances we talked about. And I remember saying something to the effect during the game, Tony, this game is so timeless. It could be 1954 as well as 1984, except the telecast would be in black and white. And people know that I have a certain appreciation of baseball. It just felt like at that point, I'm in my early 30s, relatively early in my NBC career, I couldn't think of any place on the planet I'd rather be. If I could have pushed a button and been in Paris or Rome, I would have said, no thanks, I'm staying right here at Wrigley Field. And I hope that that sense of enjoyment and appreciation was transmitted to the audience. Let me give you another response to that. A couple of years ago, Jim Cott and I did a game on the Major League Baseball Network at Fenway Park. So again, you have a classic setting. It was a night game at Fenway Park. Cleveland against Boston. And the Red Sox won it either 12-10 or 12-11, something very, very close to what happened in the Sandberg game. And the game featured one of the greatest outfield catches I've ever seen, Austin Jackson tumbling into the bullpen, running from center field toward right center and tumbling into the Red Sox bullpen to make an astonishing catch. Back and forth, seesawing game. Christian Vasquez, with two out in the bottom of the ninth and the Red Sox trailing, homers to win the game. An incredible game and a great scene at Fenway Park. But that game just is folded into the long regular season because it didn't have all the surrounding circumstances and it didn't have the primacy of the game of the week. Yeah, it was on national television, but at the same time, if you were a baseball fan and you had the baseball package, you could probably watch a half dozen different games or more. So it just didn't stand out. It didn't have a center stage aspect to it the way the Sandberg game did, even though if you looked at it, it was pretty close to comparable.
Bob, you paid me the ultimate compliment, I think, when you were in the ballpark a couple weeks ago saying, you know what, Bruce, I don't think I've ever been at Wrigley Field and you haven't been here. and I was certainly at that game, and that still stands out to me as the most exciting, exhilarating game that I've ever watched in person or pretty much anywhere else. You know, that's up there for any type of regular season game. Matt and I really appreciate your time and your expertise on this. We're going to continue with Ryne Sandberg after this. We'll be sure to get you a copy of the show, and we can't wait to see you again when you come to Chicago. Thanks again, Bob, for sharing.
Two quick things.
Sure.
A, tell Ryne I said hello. Look forward to seeing him in Cooperstown. And two, this pretty much says it all, doesn't it? It's a regular season game that has a title, the Sandberg game.
Yeah.
And everybody knows what you're talking about. And even though it doesn't happen as often as it did in the 80s and 90s, it still happens from time to time. I'll be in Chicago, and a stranger will begin a conversation with me by just simply saying, Bob, the Sandberg game.
That
says it all, doesn't it?
That's awesome. Hey, Bob and Bruce, you know, there's one guy who was on the field that day who is still on Major League fields right now. Do you know who it was? First base umpire Joe West.
Yeah, well, he's permanently there forever.
Right?
Cowboy
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah. Bob, again, thank you so much for the time. Keep up the great work. It's just as exhilarating and fun to watch you work these days as it was back in 1984. Keep it up.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Bob.
But the great Bob Costas joining us on our tribute to Ryne Sandberg.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.